Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Now, in his first interview since being sacked as Chancellor last month, British MP Kwasi Kwarteng said he had warned the former British Prime Minister Liz Truss to slow down after September's mini-budget. Let's hear some of what he had to say during last night's interview with Tom Newton Dunn on Talk TV.
So I think we try to do too much too quickly, too much too fast. I think it was, I mean, I bear some responsibility for it. I think it was a good idea to try and set our parameters quickly. I said actually after the budget, that because we were going very fast. Even after the mini budget, we were going at a breakneck speed. And I said, we should slow down. Slow down.
And what did she say?
And she said, well, I've only got 2 years. And I said, you'll have 2 months if you carry on like this.
Well, for more on this, I'm joined on the line by Jerry Scott, political reporter at The Times London. Good morning, Jerry. Thank you for joining us today.
Morning.
So we heard an honest account of what he saw as happening behind the scenes. Did you expect, though, that Kwasi Kwarteng would come out right now, so soon after the end of the Liz Truss reign, and speak so openly?
No, look, I think it's quite clear that he's trying to distance himself from some of the fallout that we saw from that mini budget and from the economic decisions that both Kwasi Kwarteng and Liz Truss made. And I think probably why he's come out so soon is to try and kind of redeem himself a bit, kind of rehabilitate his reputation, see a path back to being kind of a trusted figure in the party and potentially a job in government in the future. But I think some of it is pretty thinly veiled. I think it's very difficult for him to completely separate himself from the reforms that, you know, he was part of the architect of. So I think there's an attempt there. It may go some way, but not all the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinary that he could imagine that he might get a job in the future. But I see as well that he said nice things about Rishi Sunak. So that's not beyond the realms of possibility that he thinks that he might be in line for a senior gig in the future.
Well, look, politics is a funny old thing, isn't it? And to the people who were out one minute are in the next. So who knows? But I think, you know, it's very clear that Kwasi Kwarteng thinks there might be a road back for him. I think it's very difficult because, you know, me and you have spoken many a time about this economic plan they had and how intrinsically linked they were. They've been kind of friends for many, many years. They wrote that book, Britannia Unchained, many, many years ago with all these ideas in it. So it's pretty unbelievable now, I think, for Kwasi Kwarteng to say, actually, I only bear some responsibility.
It is cheeky of him to say, oh, I told her to slow down. She was going too fast. I mean, people will remember back at that time, wasn't he saying, well, there's more to come? Just after the mini budget, he said there was more to come.
Yeah, absolutely. He went on TV, I think it was the Sunday, the kind of broadcast round on the Sunday morning, saying that there was more to come. So, you know, I'm not saying that he's not being truthful. I'm sure he was telling her to slow down behind the scenes. But, you know, what you say privately and publicly are often very, very different things. But, you know, I think, well, the other thing that's interesting about this interview is the reaction from Jeremy Hunt, the new chancellor who was brought in after Kwasi Kwarteng was sacked by Liz Truss, and he found out via a tweet from the political editor of The Times, which is pretty undignified as well. But look, I mean, Jeremy Hunt has completely pushed away this suggestion that the economic chaos we saw wasn't caused by Truss and Kwarteng. What Kwasi Kwarteng said was, you know, national debt wasn't caused by Liz Truss's 44 days in government. Mm. That's true, but it wasn't made much better either.
People might remember the day he was sacked. Wasn't he flying back in from the States and there were cameras on his plane tracking his flight back in, and everyone expected that there would be news to emerge from Downing Street. So he clearly, as the plane was coming into land, had seen that tweet that he was about to be fired and had to make the journey by car to hear the news in person.
Yeah, that's right. And he said in this interview, he said that he turned to his special advisor and said, oh, that's interesting. I imagine the words might have been a little bit stronger than that, don't you? But yes, he said he arrived at Downing Street to find Liz Truss very distressed. And then she then told him that he would no longer be chancellor. This is another interesting bit about this. He said he then warned her that she wouldn't be able to sack him for putting her plans in place. But obviously she did.
Yes, and he was right about that. And that was clear from the get-go that once she got rid of him, the clock was very much ticking. Now, just on that nugget that he gave about her mental state and her demeanour as she was sacking him, tell us more about what he said.
Yeah, so he said that she was distressed when he turned up there. Tomlinson Dunn interviewing said, you know, was she crying? And he said she was definitely, you know, very distressed and very kind of concerned about the situation. Distressed and emotional is what he said. And, you know, he said he can't remember if she was kind of actually crying, if there were tears in her eyes, but she was clearly in a bad way and knew that it was the beginning of the end, I mm-hmm. imagine. But I think it's very interesting phrasing, you know, distressed and emotional, really, they're quite powerful words. I imagine she was, but for someone who is her friend and supposed to be her friend, I'm not sure I'd be too happy if I was Liz Truss at those kind of more intimate moments being revealed.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that they're gendered comments as well. Has there been any pushback about those comments in that regard?
I've not seen any kind of massive pushback at the moment, but I do agree with you that they are gendered comments. You know, we saw when Theresa May resigned, there was a lot of focus on the fact that her voice cracked when she was outside Downing Street. There's also that famous photograph of Margaret Thatcher in the back of the car with tears in her eyes. And I'm not sure we ask the same questions about male politicians. I think mm-hmm. what I would say is that, you know, as a journalist, I would have also asked that question, especially because Kwasi Kwarteng himself volunteered the information that she was distressed and emotional. I think it would have been a bit of a dereliction of journalistic duty if the follow-up question there hadn't been, what do you mean by emotional? Was she crying? But I think we do have a bit of an obsession with this.
And we know, as you've explained to us, that they've been friends for years. Are they still friends?
Well, apparently so, but Kwasi Kwarteng did say that he hadn't returned a phone call from her recently, but that he would do. So I imagine that relationship is slightly fractured, if not broken.
Yeah, by now, certainly, as a result of that interview, it may be in a worse state. Gerry, thanks so much. Good to talk to you as always. Gerry Scott there, political reporter with Times London. Coming up next, we'll be asking the question, should Ireland's forests and mountains be home to packs of wolves? That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.